presentation by Kathy Lynn and Garrett Vogesser that who will talk about funding opportunities and partnerships as an approach to getting these programs moving forward for tribes. So I'm going to turn it over to Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy. I guess good afternoon. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. Well, thank you very much again for the opportunity to participate in this webcast today. Garrett Vogesser and I are going to switch gears a little bit and talk about resources to help tribes engage in a whole range of climate change policies, programs, grants. And I'll start off just by giving a quick bit of background about the Pacific Northwest Tribal Climate Change Project and how that kind of led us into identifying various resources. And then I'll hand it over to Garrett for the second half of the presentation. The Pacific Northwest Tribal Climate Change Project formed a couple of years ago really to try to increase an understanding of the ways in which climate change may affect tribal culture and sovereignty and resources, and also to help make stronger connections between the various programs, funds, and ways in which tribes, you know, could participate in regional, national, and local climate change programs. We facilitate a network of tribes, primarily in the Pacific Northwest, though it extends up to Alaska, and we have partners in the Southwest and in different places. We also work really closely with the Institute for Tribal Environmental Professionals, who you heard from earlier, on a series of tribal climate change profiles. And those profiles are really out there to help build an understanding of the ways in which tribes are being really innovative around climate change. And I'll just add in there that we have a number of profiles of tribal mitigation efforts. The Lummi Nation in Washington State and their renewable energy efforts, the Siletz Tribal Energy Program, which was also an EPA Climate Change Showcase Communities grant recipient. So those are the sorts of profiles that we have, and again, we partner with the Institute for Tribal Environmental Professionals, and they have a whole series of profiles as well. Some of the key areas that we focus on in the project are related to traditional knowledge in climate change, understanding the government-to-government relationship and what that means in identifying opportunities to plan for climate change, whether that's through adaptation or through reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and thinking about the various resources and sectors that may be affected by climate change that tribes are interested in planning for. And I put this slide up because it was through these different areas that we were working that I had a number of conversations with Michelle Davis, who is with the Environmental Protection Agency in Region 10 and works with southeastern Alaskan tribes. And she and I worked together to figure out, well, how do we help tribes access the resources and the funds that might be available to help in addressing climate change? But what we recognized was that there are very few climate-specific grants out there that tribes may be eligible for. I mean, there are very few climate-specific grants out there on the whole, and so we wanted to think about all of the different sectors and areas that tribes could be accessing resources and grants for that would help in addressing the broad issues that climate change presents to tribes. And so with that, we have developed a tribal climate change funding guide, and the goal of the guide is to really provide up-to-date information on climate change grants that tribes are eligible for. And so I'll talk for another minute or two and give a couple of examples, and then I'm actually going to switch my screen away from the PowerPoint to actually work to kind of give a demonstration of how the guide works. It's an online searchable database, and you can look things up by grant name, by agency, you can sort by deadline. We have a number of categories that you can select in a drop down. And then we've also tried to provide as much relevant information on funding amounts, eligibility, and kind of details about the grants. So a couple of examples that I'll provide before I go to the guide, just that have, I'll start here. The Administration for Native Americans Grant Fund, which is a program through the Department of Human Services, funded the Swinomish tribe in Washington State to kickstart their adaptation plan. And I put this up there because it's not a climate change specific grant, and yet the goals of the grant, promote self-sufficiency for Native Americans through grant funding for community-based projects, resulted in this very comprehensive vulnerability assessment for the Swinomish and an adaptation plan. And, you know, it was a fairly large grant, and those may not be very common. And yet, I think what's important here is to really understand the ways in which going to maybe non-traditional or non-climate-specific funding sources can help tribes in figuring out where can we get started, even with a much smaller grant. What can we get started with in doing? And so the Swinomish, for example, formed really strong partnerships with the University of Washington Climate Impacts Group, which was able to provide a lot of the technical assistance in the assessment, the climate risk assessment. They had partnerships with the county and with other NGOs to really figure out how to leverage resources. And so while, again, the Swinomish may have done a very comprehensive adaptation plan, that I think thinking about the components that, you know, maybe there's enough funding just to do the vulnerability assessment. The Port Gamble Sklallam and Jamestown Sklallam tribes in Washington State have both recently received Environmental Protection Agency IGAP funds. And they're just, it's much smaller grant funds, but they're just using it to start their vulnerability assessment so they can figure out what are our greatest risks from climate change and how then, you know, can they move forward to act on those. I'm going to switch now to the actual Tribal Climate Change Funding Guide page, which first I'm going to click over here. And on our website, if you click on the Publications tab, one of the very first link is directly to the Tribal Climate Change Funding Guide. So you can click on that, and that will take you directly to this online searchable database. And when the screen comes up, what you see first is just all of the grants. And we have them in order of deadline. And so if you scroll through, you can see those. We have one that just recently passed, and we have one that's due on Tuesday. And you can kind of scroll through to see what some of those upcoming grants are. That's not necessarily going to be the best way to use this funding guide because there's so much information in here. I think right now we have more than 100 grant entries included in this, and I have a student here at the University of Oregon whose sole job is to continue to update this database with updated deadlines, with new grant information. I will also note that we have kept a lot of grants in here that were funded in the last year or two that don't have specific deadlines for 2013 or 2014. But we wanted to keep them in here if they were funded in the last year or two to give tribes a sense of what kind of information or what kind of grants might be possible in the future. And also, we've included contact information. Oh, sorry about that. We've included contact information over here so that if it looks like a grant that might be of particular interest, you can find out who that direct contact is, and even if the deadline is unknown, you might still be able to do some outreach to that organization. So to give a couple of examples of how it works, we could go here and we could look directly at the Environmental Protection Agency and see what grants are available through the EPA that might help tribes in addressing climate change. And so the grants due in a couple of days are on environmental education. Next week, or I should say, I'm sorry, in early January, the Environmental Justice Small Grants Program has a deadline upcoming that might be of interest to people. And again, all of these entries are going to link directly to the grant information, and it'll actually come up in another browser so that you don't lose your place of where you're at. Here's the information on the Environmental Justice Small Grants Program. We've also included, they're not just agency grants. You could go here and you could look at NGO grants, non-governmental organizations, and take a look at the kind of grants that might be available here. Now, most of these are unknown for 2013, but I did want to highlight a specific grant through the Climate Solutions University. And these grants are actually kind of come along with technical assistance to help tribes in climate change adaptation planning. They've had, I think, 2 years of funding thus far. The Nez Perce tribe in Idaho was one of the recipients. And it's a program where there's technical assistance to do the adaptation planning. And they have extended their deadline, which was originally early in the fall, but I believe it's kind of open and maybe even on a rolling basis right now. So if you're interested in technical assistance around adaptation planning, this might be a grant that you might be interested in taking a look at. And then the last example I'll give is just to go into the categories. And if you're specifically interested in mitigation, I'm going to reset this up here. You can submit for mitigation and see what comes up. And again, so it's just an opportunity to kind of scroll through and see the various mitigation-related grants that might be available. You could do the same thing for renewable energy. You could do the same thing for natural resources or fisheries or wildlife. We really wanted to, again, make this something that helped tribes identify relevant funding sources. And I'll just throw out a reminder that if you have questions about how this works, you can type that into your chat browser, and I'm happy to answer questions about how the funding guide works at the end of the webcast. So I'll switch back over here to the PowerPoint. I talked a little bit about some of these grants, so I'm going to just move to my last slide before I hand it over to Garrett. And this slide is really just focused on thinking about leveraging resources to support climate change programs, looking to entities that have trainings and workshops like the Institute for Tribal Environmental Professionals, and resources to assist in climate change planning might really help to leverage limited resources. I also wanted to highlight the American Indian Alaska Native Climate Change Working Group, which is convened by Daniel Wildcat with Haskell Indian Nations University, and is comprised of many tribal colleges and agencies, but many of the tribal college students that have participated in this working group have gone on to do research through their academic programs with their tribes to look at a range of climate change issues. And so it's just, again, when you're thinking about how do we leverage limited resources, there's nothing like an enthusiastic, motivated student to really help get legwork done. And then the final partnership I was going to mention is the Intertribal Timber Council. In the last year has formed a research subcommittee, and many of they've done a survey and an initial report identifying research needs, and climate change is something that that came up as a strong need. And so, you know, again, if a lot of climate change planning depends on an understanding of specific climate impacts, that might be another group to consider in contacting and in leveraging resources. So with that, I'm going to continue to click through the slides, but hand it over to Garrett.
Thanks, Kathy. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so what I want to do is the portion of my presentation today is to bounce off of what Kathy just presented, but talk about some of the challenges, the opportunities, and strategies for tribal engagement of federal agencies and resources when it comes to climate adaptation. And I think we have to be honest that there are big challenges. We know what's going on with the federal budget and the fiscal cliff. So on this slide, what I want to give you a sense of is where the Bureau of Indian Affairs stands in comparison to the other interior agencies. Essentially, what I'm showing you here with this slide is that between 2004 and 2012, when the Interior Department's budget increases, the BIA often gets the smallest increase overall. If you can go to the next slide. So I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Bureau of Indian Affairs Trust Natural Resource Program. It funds all the wide array of activities that many tribes undertake in regards to wildlife conservation, fisheries, treaty rights protection, water quantity and quality, forestry. So this is the main Bureau of Indian Affairs funding source for tribal natural resource programs, and it's the largest base funding provided to tribes. But as reflected in the previous slide as well, if we go back to 1999, the BIA did a report and found that tribes had $356 million of unmet annual needs for natural resource management and conservation. So again, that's a challenge that's existed, and it continues to exist, and we just need to be aware of that. Over the last 12 years, the Trust Natural Resources Program has remained essentially flat, and so tribal needs have multiplied. So with this kind of somber news, what are the opportunities? Well, I think this really points to the need to figure out creatively how to integrate climate change planning into normal tribal natural resource planning efforts like integrated resource management plans. So that's a process your tribe goes through, and you need to think creatively about how to work climate change into that and adaptation strategies. And if your staff doesn't have the capacity or the technical expertise to integrate that, then it's a good opportunity to reach out to agency or university or NGO partners to help integrate that into your planning efforts. Next, tribes can use their Trust Natural Resource funding for climate change adaptation planning. So if you're integrating that with your natural resources management plan, that can be part of your normal practices. And why I want to give this background on what the state of play is with the BIA budget and the Trust Natural Resource Program is that this is information I think everyone should be aware of, so that when you're meeting with the Interior Department or Bureau of Indian Affairs at the regional or national level, this can provide your justifications for saying, hey, we need more support to adapt to climate change. If you go to the next slide, please. The Department of Interior Cooperative Landscape Conservation Program is essentially the largest interior program for funding climate adaptation. So this is a program that started in 2009, shortly after the new administration came in for its first term. And it's meant to provide resources to the various Interior Department agencies to address the scientific and data gaps for dealing with climate change and to implement solutions to climate change. Here, what I wanted to show you is where BIA once again stands in the scheme of things when it comes to this funding source, this Cooperative Landscape Conservation Program. As you can see, tribes haven't really gotten much money. There's some overlap funding from FY11 into FY12 of $419,000. In the grand scheme of things, that would mean that in fiscal year 12, when they got $419,000, the BIA did to help tribes. Tribes essentially got about 0.25% of the total funding earmarked for this climate change funding program. And what did BIA do with that money? Part of it was to run to hire and keep on board a BIA climate change coordinator. They also made $319,000 available for a competitive grant program for tribes to conduct vulnerability assessments and adaptation plans and participate in climate change activities. Two other things I wanted to point out, and this will kind of give you some knowledge moving into a slide that I'm going to give the mic back to Kathy to explain, but USGS, you can see the amount of funding that gets there. USGS is the main hub for what are called the Climate Science Centers, or CSCs, and the Fish and Wildlife Service is the main hub for what are called the Landscape Conservation Cooperatives, or LCCs, which Kathy will mention in a minute. But also I want to point out those all these agencies for a couple of reasons. The amount of funding that the BIA will be limited, but tribes should look at reaching out to the other agencies to leverage funding and support. Talking to your local BLM office, Bureau of Reclamation, or USGS office, or talking to the national office and telling them about your need for support for a climate change adaptation is a way to leverage funding and partnerships. Next slide, please. So with this slide, what I wanted to show, again, we're still looking at the DOI Cooperative Landscape Conservation Program. So some ongoing activities undertaken by National Wildlife Federation, National Congress of American Indians, National Tribal Environmental Council, and other partners I just want to make you aware of this information so that you have opportunities to use this information to elevate your voice and gain increased support for tribes to address climate change from federal agencies. So we looked at that total pot of money that's been going into this CLC program, and we broke down the money based on the acreage managed by each agency. And what that showed us is that tribes should actually be getting about $27.4 million out of that total pot of $175 million. So that's an argument that can be used to talk to interior agencies about your increased need for support. Another thing that tribes can talk about to these agencies is the amount of acreage that you own and manage, the growing population of Indian country compared to the declining rural populations in many parts of the Midwest and West, and also the abundant habitat and wildlife on tribal lands compared to other places. These are all justifications for why you should get increased support. NTEC and NCAI last year asked for $8.55 million out of that total pot of $175 million. That was based on 5%, which was looking at tribal land acreage and population. That's what they felt comfortable asking for. Next, another thing that you can be used to just justify your need for support is the federal trust responsibility. The federal government has a trust responsibility to you to help you manage and protect your resources, and similarly, they have an obligation to assist you in your efforts to adapt to climate change. Another piece of information, Secretarial Order 3289 issued by Ken Salazar in 2009 outlined his climate change policy, setting a course for protecting the nation's natural resources, cultural heritages, and tribal lands and resources from the effects of climate change. In addition, in that executive order, he said he required in-depth government-to-government consultation with tribes to support substantial participation by tribes and their climate change activities. So the Interior Secretary issued an order requiring all his agencies to fully engage and support tribes. And then just a quick piece of information, in this year's administration's request budget, they've asked for $800,000 in that Cooperative Landscape Conservation Program for the BIA to help tribes with climate change. Next slide. I got to go back to you, Kathy.
Yeah, and actually, in the interest of time, it might be best for the audience to take a look at this slide and just review it on their own through the presentations they received. So if we can move on to the next slide, please.
Okay. So with that, I'll move a little bit more rapidly then. So also, there's funding available from federal agencies for mitigation. Many of you may be familiar with the Department of Energy Tribal Energy Program, which funds renewable energy projects. They funded about 130 projects at over $30 million In 2012, they funded 17 projects at $6 million. And on average, over the last 15 years, they've had about $5 million a year for tribes. If you go to the next slide, there's also an initiative by Department of Interior called the New Energy Frontier Initiative. I won't belabor the point, but essentially the goal is to increase the amount of renewable energy on public and tribal lands. You can see there the overall funding for DOI and then BIA has averaged about $6 million over the last couple years, and the request this year is for $6 million as well. If you go to the next slide. So some final thoughts. As I mentioned, tribal funding for climate adaptation and support from the federal agencies is a trust responsibility. I think Kathy very effectively pointed out that we need to think creatively when seeking funding. And I should give you the example of the ANA grant that the Swinomish used. Many of the sources you're going to find to fund your climate efforts may not be something you traditionally think of as a natural resource management or climate funding grant. Next, climate change doesn't obey jurisdictional boundaries or borders, and neither should the strategies and partnerships. Partnerships are critical. Need to reach out to the states, to localities, to universities, to NGOs, to leverage support and technical expertise that you may need to, you know, develop your climate adaptation plans. And then finally, by reaching out to those partners, you're going to find ways to leverage resources. You may have a $30,000 grant, and USGS may be willing to kick in another $15,000 to help you. And that's a good way to, you know, augment the amount of money you have for climate adaptation. And the next slide is just the concluding slide. If you need any additional information from us, Kathy or I, there's our contact info.
Thank you, Garrett and Kathy. And I apologize for skipping over the conservation slide, but hopefully the audience will be able to use that and some of the messages from Tracy Horst's presentation on working with utilities to plan out how they can get money to implement climate programs. So I'm going to go to our next poll question, which reads, aside from funding sources, what type of assistance would be most helpful for tribes? And we would like the tribes on the line to select one response, technical assistance, one-on-one support, dedicated climate staff at the tribal level, scientific expertise and climate change projections, and lastly, would learning from peers, from others, be most helpful? If you could select one. And if we can show those results. Thank you. And it looks like what would be most useful is dedicated climate staff, closely followed by technical assistance. And I'm hoping that some of the examples that Kathy pointed out in the last presentation provide good resources for technical assistance, along with the resources listed in tribes.